Hello, welcome to the Lately in PHP podcast. I'm your the regular host, Manuel Lemus, and I have here with me my regular co-host, Hernani Joppert. Hello, Hernani, how are you doing?
Hello, Manuel. Hello, everyone. I'm doing great and glad to be here again.
Well, this month we have some very interesting PHP topics to talk about. I think it would be more interesting to start talking about the PHP for Android project. I don't know if you have read already the article that I just published a few days ago with an interview with the lead developer of PHP for Android. It is basically a project that allows to develop native applications for the Android devices using the PHP language. Hernani, what do you think about this project?
Yes, I've read about the article. I didn't went through everything, every detail, but this represents a very, very nice. You can see that the mobile development market is growing very fast, and by bringing PHP abilities into Android market, seriously represents a very good impact for PHP developers. And as I've been through reading this article, I saw that you can pretty much start developing any kind of applications based on Android. And this seems a very promising project. I hope to keep up with this, and I will surely test it out eventually.
Yes, from what I've heard, I do not have an Android phone. Actually, I do not even have a smartphone. I have a mobile phone, but it's very basic. From what I've heard, there are many people developing applications for smartphones, for iPhone, and now for Android. And then they publish those applications for sale in application stores, and I've heard that some people at least are making a lot of money from developing these applications.
Right, yes. The mobile market is growing very fast, and you can see that the trends by Google and by Apple, there is a very, very substantial increase of competition and as well capabilities. You see that developers can now promote their application not by selling but also advertising, which is something that will most likely grow a lot. And by bringing PHP into this area, I wouldn't be afraid to see very useful applications for Android, and hopefully there is a port for other mobile platforms that will eventually tie together PHP-based websites and as well as applications. And you can see this evolving as Twitter has their user interfaces to interact with most of on any mobile platform. But a few of those you see interacting with WordPress and other services, and specific services as well, because some companies can pretty much use the mobility of their employees to interact with their relatives, their areas, and interact with the communication and systems, and basically all kinds of applications could perform such tasks right now. I don't see any kinds of restrictions on the mobile area. And I own a BlackBerry, and I've been playing with it, and I've developed one basic application to interface with SoundCloud, which is a service for music producers to share their content. And it's a very it's a very nice way to interact with the service, but it has some restrictions, and I've been struggling a lot with some particularities. But it seems that the Android market is way more mature, as well as the iPhone one.
Yeah, talking about your smartphone, what kind of tools do you use to develop your applications? Is it Java, or is there any SDK or IDEs to help developing those applications?
Yes, BlackBerry specifically has a Java background, so you pretty much is using the Java mobile APIs, the MIDP, which is the mobile, I don't remember the acronym, but it's basically Java, and they have a Windows-based development platform, and I'm hopefully willing them to provide this for Mac users as well, as I own a Mac now. I've changed, and hopefully eventually they will focus on this development market as well, and provide the same kinds of development solutions for Mac users, and hopefully Linux as well, because we never know.
Yes, so what seems to be interesting about this the Android platform is that originally they would only support developing applications in Java. But then they started opening a space for using scripting languages, not just PHP. Actually, they started with Python, I believe. And now they are making it easier for developing those applications with other languages that tend to be easier to develop because they are scripting languages. From what I heard, actually the developer of the PHP for Android mentioned that developing applications for the mobile phones in Java is quite painful. I think that is probably due to the, because everything in Java is bureaucratic. Hernani, you regularly develop applications in Java. Do you agree?
Yes, Java has too much specific requirements. So if you are developing a simple solution, you would have to at least have a small amount of a structure in your code to achieve that. And by using scripting languages for simple purposes, this would be a huge impact. Java tends to be focused more on enterprise-grade and multi-tiered applications, and sometimes you can reduce this kind of specifics by using a simple way to interact with your users, and sometimes this is what you see with the growth of PHP in the whole world. You see that most of the open source web applications are tied with PHP because it's way easier to understand, and it has not much restrictions as Java does.
Yeah.
And restrictions sometimes helps and sometimes doesn't help.
Yeah.
And I like PHP because of the, you can write pretty much good code and not good code. And with Java, this gets a little bit harder. They try to make you a strict way to develop your applications.
Yeah,
and
I think it's also the way you do things in Java tends to be more complicated. For instance, in PHP, you just, if you want to manipulate arrays, in Java it's quite bureaucratic. You have to create an object, and then you have to call methods to populate the array. And in PHP, what you do with a single command, you have to develop, write a lot more lines of code with many commands to do the same, I think this is just an example of how bureaucratic Java can be, and basically this means that opening space for these scripting languages, not just PHP, will make the lives of the developers much simpler.
Oh yes, and assuming that you're using a scripting language, I feel that you can achieve faster sometimes the results that you expect, and you can also provide some prototypes. You don't have to, you know, compile lots of codes, lots of design patterns, and you know, make your application look very well structured in the beginning of your ideas. You can just make it simple.
Yes, rapid
and,
development
with scripting. Yeah, with scripting languages, those kinds of restrictions that Java imposes makes the difference. Can be very, very high in that area.
Right. And there are also other interesting aspects of this PHP for Android project. Basically, the developer already provided, I think it is, I have not inspected the code, but from what I've seen in the examples, they provide an object that you can make calls to the Android API to manipulate the user interface directly. It's not like the regular web applications that you have to generate HTML. It's you actually perform calls that, for instance, if you want your device to vibrate, you have a call to make it vibrate, and this is more optimized, so to speak, to take advantage of the native capabilities of the Android project.
Right.
But other than that, I think there is a lot of resent about what developers in general, and also users that are not developers, think about the way Apple is conducting the access to the devices and all the requirements and restrictions of what you can do, what you cannot do, the languages that you can use, the platforms that you can use. For instance,
right.
the famous restriction, actually, they do not support Flash on the iPhone and also iPad.
Oh, yes.
And personally, I don't mind much because I don't use Flash, but I know, for instance, you are Nani, you are a big fan of Flash, and you probably are a bit upset about this lack of support of Flash in the iPhone. What do you think?
Oh yes, I am. I don't mind, you know, Apple's decisions. I guess that they are well matured to decide if they will adopt Flash or not in their platform. But I guess they could provide a way for developers to migrate their existing Flash applications or to make the Flash applications run well on their system. Okay,
they say it's Adobe job to make it. One of the complaints is that Adobe never provided implementation of Flash that actually runs fast enough and without crashing on iPhones. Do you think that is a fair claim? Is it really Adobe's responsibility to assure that, or do you think there may be not very goodwill from the Apple side to cooperate and really do the best to make it possible?
Yes, one point is I've seen a lot of Flash applications, specifically on gaming and basically on entertainment-based websites. And those kinds of websites, they are very heavy. And I've seen some friends playing Farmville, and that kind of application takes about 200 megabytes on your memory in a heartbeat, depending on the complexity of your evolution on the game. And Flash on that specific area takes a lot of CPU and takes a lot of memory. And I don't feel that if you're planning to grow your gaming platform in that language is the best decision. But eventually, I feel that Adobe will make some changes on the plugin to make it run better and run more stable. But Apple's decision to throw the fault in Adobe, it's not very fair. I mean, Apple should provide on their own implementation of Flash interpreter if they concern about this. I've seen some JavaScript libraries that can interpret Flash content, so they could on their own provide a way to do not block entirely Flash on their system. They could also tell the user, okay, if you are willing to accept this application to run on this system, it's not our responsibility if your system is not going to be stable.
Yeah, I think that's a good point that you are mentioning, because ultimately it's the user that paid for the phone that should decide what he wants to do. If he wants to blow his phone, wants to burn the battery with the resource-consuming applications, it's his problem. And this makes me wonder if Apple doesn't have other reasons to avoid Flash in the iPhone and iPad that they are not really mentioning. I'm wondering if Flash could be used to work around some limitations of their some restraints of their platform. I wonder if, for instance, they blocked Google Voice, which is an application that Google developed that somehow competes with services provided with some mobile carriers. I wonder if a Flash application could work around those.
Flash has
those constraints.
The Flash plugin in PC has webcam facilities and streaming media as well. And I've mentioned on the previous podcast that I've been checking out Red5, which is a streaming server based on Java, an open source project. And Red5 does basically the server side, and a Flash application or a Flex application could do the client side. And by providing the Flash API on a mobile device, which is, let's say, Android by this instance, you could pretty much develop a voice over IP or a user-to-user video chat application in a second.
And you could also download code. An application could download more code that is not audited by the... By Apple before they put it in the approve it in the App Store.
Could
that happen?
Yes, this is one very big point that I've heard, and I agree with most of the comments regarding this decision from Steve Jobs, which is related to the policy and control of their platform. If somehow you allow everyone to develop everything on your system, then you don't have the control that you want or you wish to have on your system. And I guess that this is some of the concerns of Steve Jobs, and I feel that he wants to make his development platform, his SDK, the only option and the option that they can audit and they can ensure that nothing is harming their system.
Yes, that's another comment that the developer of the PHP for Android made regarding the tools. Apple only allows their tools to be used for developing applications, and with this initiative of the Android organization, which is headed by Google, but it's not just Google, they allow to use scripting languages that basically could be languages that are not under the control of Google or any of the members of the Android organization. And this is something that gives us developers and also users the freedom to run applications that could be developed in other languages like PHP. So this is ultimately is good for the developers and users of the Android devices, and in the end it will be a disadvantage for those that want to use and develop applications for iPhone and iPad and so on. And
yes,
this seems to be an important factor which the developer of the PHP for Android mentioned in the interview.
Right, and also not mentioning the hacking world, which is something that, not hacking in the bad way, but hacking in the way that you could lose the control of some resources. So let's say some kind of processing capabilities on those mobiles, mobile platforms, let's say an Android device or iPhone, you could easily perform some tasks that would drain the battery life or could do something that they don't want you to do.
That always sounded to me like a bit forced excuse.
Right.
Like I just mentioned before, if the user of the phone wants to run an application that drains the battery, it's ultimately his problem.
And, right.
Even if he complains to the company that developed the phone, it's ultimately his fault. But he should not be disallowed to do so, because smartphones are not cheap devices. If you made a significant investment in the phone, it should be his responsibility to run whatever he wants. And if that drains the battery, too bad. But at least it will be possible.
Yes. And when you have a it's basically the computer problem we've had in the past, the war, the PC war, right? And it's now coming again and again and again, because you want to, if you are a vendor, and specifically Apple, which designs their own hardware, they want to remain specific and controlling what should run in their machines. And right. They provide a way for running Windows on their system, but you need to have a special way of booting your hardware, and then you can run your Windows.
Right.
But it's not very... I mean, it's easy because you can find it on the web, but it's a choice. I mean, if I have an Apple laptop and I want to run Windows on it, or if I want to run Linux on it, it's my decision. It's not Apple's decision, because
right.
The device is of my own. So if I somehow developed already an emulator of games and I want to make it available on my phone, and then I if I have the skills to build such an application by using C language or any kind of language, and I can port to a specific to address a specific API requirements, then it's my decision. But it seems also a marketing strategy of Apple, because they have their app store. And the only
yes, they're
way
trying
you can
to
reach...
protect their market, but I don't know. This seems to me that it's like 1984 is coming back. In 1984, Apple launched the Mac, and it was a big deal. They made a lot of noise about it, and it got the attention of the many people. And and Apple was sort of the leader in the personal computing then, and because their computing was provided a graphic user interface, and it was available to everybody without having to spend many tens of thousands of dollars that powerful computers would cost by then. But then... later, Windows came to provide also a graphical user interface based environment for any PC, not just Apple. PCs running on Apple hardware. So somehow, what is happening now with Android and the iPhone and iPad, if you want to put them together, it seems to be happening all over again. Apple comes with a platform that only runs on their own hardware. And then another company, in this time Google, and everybody else involved in the Android organization, that are building a platform that will run on many types of devices from many vendors, not just one particular vendor. And personally, I think it's very exciting, the Android project. I was not planning to buy a smartphone because I don't have a very mobile life. I do not have a great need for smartphones. But now with this support of PHP for Android, I'm really considering buying an Android device.
Right. Yes, it brings a lot of power to the end users. I mean, imagine in a way you have a custom application specifically targeted to run on that device, and you can gain some capabilities by achieving this. And I'm not talking about, I mean, you have PHP classes, but you could interact with your users and their phone capabilities to, let's say, I'm in this area and I have some available time to be able to consult, to provide consulting to some interested companies, or even though teach some users PHP while I'm here in this location. And you could easily gather this kind of API, this capabilities of the device through the API using PHP, which is a language that you are already familiar with.
Yeah.
And easily interact with your own website, so you can publish users' locations and make them aware that you have this social interaction between your own community, which is basically PHP classes. It's a community of PHP developers talking together and interacting together. And with the mobile world, there is a whole new scenario coming through. And I mean, your creativity is what defines you. And
right.
If you have the capability to explore it more, why not, right?
Right.
And I've seen this... yes. One particular idea that I wanted to share here is those coupons, this discount, coupons discount. And I guess it was an actor, a famous actor of Lost. He had the idea to develop an application based on iPhone, and you could pretty much generate an electronic coupon using barcode. And I've seen a lot of classes that has this the code ready for you to use under PHP classes. So you could pretty much generate coupons on your mobile and interact with a physical store. So you want to buy, let's say, a book, you can generate specific coupons on your mobile, and you can buy a book with a special discount. So this is a whole new world coming through. And PHP on a phone, I mean, it's very, very nice.
Yes, I think it was a clever initiative to add built-in support in the Android for running a scripting language, not just PHP, and ultimately that will bring millions of developers to the platform. And I think the future is bright for the Android platform and PHP and other supported scripting languages. But I think we already beat this subject quite extensively, so let's move on to another interesting subject, something that I wanted to talk about that is related to something that happened last month. I realize that not everybody is aware, but what exactly happened. But some time ago, PHP 6 was practically canceled. Canceled in the sense that the plan to develop a new PHP version that has built-in support to Unicode text strings is basically canceled because the project was too complicated and it seemed to never end. Well, I'm not sure if this is accurate, but that that is what I perceived. And Hernani, did you realize that PHP 6 was canceled, or just is it just my impression that most of the community did not realize that?
Yes, my interactions with the PHP are really on the freelance area, and by now I wasn't aware. I just heard it about a few days, and I mean they probably had a reason for canceling it.
Yes, and, it's not. It was not something that was widely discussed, and it was not so recently. It was not last month. It was before. I wanted to mention that happened last month is that there were some discussions to include back features that were only planned for PHP 6 to include them in the PHP 5.4. One of the things that were only planned for PHP 6 was to include the APC caching extension. As to be shipped in the base of PHP, because APC is an extension that is available in the Pacl repository, and if you want to use it, you can just download, compile it, and link it, install it in your PHP installation so you can use it. But with this decision to ship it built-in, when you use pre-built PHP distributions, APC will be available. And right. This is interesting because PHP, initially, if you don't enable any caching extensions, it will run significantly slow. And with this caching extension, many of the complaints of those that often supporters of other languages that use that fact to claim that PHP is slow, and PHP is not slow. With this caching extension, all the overhead of compiling PHP into Xand opcodes will be practically removed. It's just on the first compilation, on the first run, that it will be there will be compilation of PHP into opcodes, and then it will run smoother. It will not take so much CPU from the web servers, and basically it will pass the idea that PHP is much faster. PHP will run at the same speed, but you'll not have that overhead.
Right. And there is a lot of benefits from implementing this cache extension, right? Because you avoid disk I/O, and there's a lot of bottleneck there, which can cause, if you have slow hard drives, or if it fails somehow.
It's not just for execution of PHP code. You can actually store variables, cache them in memory, in shared memory.
Right.
So all instances, all processes of your web server will be able to use that cache that is in your web server shared memory, so it will be very fast. So it will not be just the regular PHP execution, but will be also the access to data that can be cached more efficiently.
Right. And with the amount of PHP hosting services that we have in the world right now, when they upgrade this I'm not considering they are not aware of this, but with this being a built-in feature, it should represent a significant amount of users adopting it and hosting services adopting it and benefiting from it, right?
Right. It will basically take a lot less CPU and consequently server resources. And but there is one detail. There is a sort of a vote in the PHP internals list of whether the APC should be included in PHP 5.4 or not. Mostly, most of the developers decided to include it. But there is a second question to be voted is to whether APC should be enabled in PHP configuration or not. And most developers voted against it. So the idea is to include APC in PHP 5.4, but it will be disabled. You have to change your PHP.ini to have it enabled. So basically, it will be up to the web server administrator to decide whether they can have APC enable or not. There were some discussions about the reasons for this, and some people claim that APC is not perfectly stable. There are some cases that may cause it to crash or something like that, from what I understood. So I think it is wise to not have it enabled by default and leave it to the systems administrators to decide whether it is safe to enable it or not.
Oh, yes.
And this is something that is very interesting to talk about, but we're going to move to the next section of our podcast, which is basically about the class that were nominated to the PHP Animation Award that happens every month. But this time we're going to talk a bit about the winners of the edition of May 2010. Any classes from those who are nominated that they think that are worth mentioning?
Oh, yes. I've been reading about them, and two of those took my attention. And one is the PDF text extractor, which seems to be a very useful class, even by personal development purposes, because if you have a large amount of PDF files in your system, and you want to search or organize it by ISBN code, you could pretty much write your own code to interact with those files and rename those files based off on the ISBN code. And this class has a lot of capabilities. I mean, you can pretty much index your contents, your PDF contents, and share it among universities or colleges, education purposes. It's a very nice solution, and it brings a lot of power, easy way to interact with the PHP files and PDF files. So
it could be actually
a lot of users should benefit from this.
Yes, potential use of that class would be to extract the text for indexing purposes. Like, for instance, if you have a database with PDF documents, you want to search it for text that it contains. You have to extract the text that is inside, and then only then you can index it for searching purposes. Then you could store it, for instance, in a regular SQL database and search the SQL database to find PDF documents that have the text you are searching for. So this is this could have that very interesting application.
Oh yes. And one of the points is based on a past of my career. I had some requests to index those files, and I had to do a lot of research and taking a lot of time consuming understanding custom PDF code and PDF libraries, and having to write even modules in a C language or in the times of Visual Basic. So by now, if a company decides to provide their annual reports on PDF format and index those files, should be a very useful way to distribute it in internet or intranet applications. So you have a vast usage of this this class. So this brought me a lot of attention here.
Right. What are the
and
classes?
The other one which took my attention is the duplicates file finder. It's one of the personal ones, because as I've understood it, it does MD5 checksums of the contents of a specific file, and it compares among a lot of other files in different directories, and this saves a lot of issues, especially when you don't have all the skills either on shell scripting or you have a limited resource to interact with the server, and you have to quickly search for duplicate files or failed uploaded files. This could easily reduce your hard drive duplicates files, and I mean, it's a very, very nice way to use PHP.
Right. It seems simple and also clever the way this class was developed to provide this functionality. Also, I'd like to comment that the author, Rachak Chauchan from India, is one of the top contributors of the PHP Classes site. He contributed tens of classes over time. And particularly this month, he had, let me count here, four classes that were nominated for the Innovation Award, which makes him the lead author not just for the May month, but also for the whole year. So he's a serious candidate to win the Innovation Award of the year. And we'll see what other interesting classes he can bring up.
Right.
Also, one thing that I would like, interesting class that I would like to mention that I have seen, not from Rachak, another by Michele Andrioli from Italy, the Fast Fourier Transform. I don't know if you are familiar what are Fast Fourier Transform. This is an interesting algorithm that basically allows you to compute the spectrum of frequencies of, for instance, a sound sample. If you have a sound sample, you want to analyze what frequencies it takes, if there are high notes or low notes or whatever. You can use the Fast Fourier Transform, and you can use it for many purposes that apply this algorithm to, for instance, let's say you want to filter frequencies on a specific range. You use the Fast Fourier Transform, and then you change the resulting spectrum, and also this this package can perform the opposite operation, which is the inverse Fast Fourier Transform, which basically starts from the spectrum and computes the original sample. So one thing that you can do with this class is to take sound sample, apply a frequency based filter, and take the resulting aspect, the resulting sample for some right. some purpose. I think this is basically what was done. Now that the World Cup, Soccer World Cup has ended, I'm sure you heard of a lot of complaints about the vuvuzelas.
Right.
And I noticed that several TV channels around the world have applied a sort of frequency based filtering to suppress or at least attenuate the sound of the vuvuzela, so they as if they were not there.
Right. So, yes.
And basically, how this is done is to using some very fast system to take the sound of the recording from the
yes
the soccer right. field, and then apply a fast Fourier transform to compute the spectrum and eliminate the frequencies that correspond to the sound of vuvuzela, and then use the inverse fast Fourier transform calculation to restore the sound and the aspect here, the result is amazing. It's as I mentioned, it's practically as if the vuvuzelas are not there.
And, right.
This seems to be a very interesting application.
Yes, and it's basically what equalizers are based off, right?
Yeah.
And
equalizers
well as,
apply right. Whatever are the parameters that you define on each of the frequency bars to adjust the
right.
the sound that is coming in.
Each of those equalizer knobs or crossfaders basically are tied to a frequency gap, and if
yes.
you apply it, it will basically affect the current sample.
So
yeah, it's very, very nice. And one of the other ideas that I wish to achieve this, remember that I've mentioned on the SoundCloud application that I was writing for BlackBerry, is to apply a Fourier transformation to gather all those frequencies and basically draw a waveform for a specific track. So this would be a very useful example.
Yeah. Yes, this is for PHP. This is probably to do it natively in PHP probably not be very fast, so it is not quite viable to use it for real-time filtering. But the principles are there, and if you want to develop an application that requires this sort of filtering that does not need to be performed in real time, I think this is a quite viable class for that purpose.
Oh, yes. Yes,
another,
it's a very nice example.
Yeah. Another class that I wanted to mention is this SPLX graph by Alessandro Vernassa, also from Italy, like Michele Andrioli that developed the fast Fourier transform class. The SPLX graph renders polygons, triangles, mainly, and then it can specialize to other shapes in using just the HTML tags. And this is very interesting because sometimes you want to render a vector, an image made of vectorial graphics, but for some reason you cannot use image files, GIF or JPEG or PNG, and with this class it generates HTML that renders polygons of many shapes using just HTML, and it seemed to me a very interesting class.
Oh yes, specifically when you need to provide graphical explanations of a flow and a basic drawing capabilities, right?
Right. And I've not tried it. Just analyzed, but I think in some cases it will generate a lot of HTML to render each pixel each in the shapes. But it seemed to me very interesting nevertheless. I think pretty much covered the most right. interesting classes. There are many other classes that were nominated, but we don't have the time to comment on all of them. But I think this is a very interesting section of our podcast. So given this, I think that is all for now. And it was this episode was quite interesting due to the subjects that we covered. And next month, I hope to have a big announcement to make regarding a new site that I'm about to release. And I think I will dedicate most of the time to that new site that is very correlated with the PHP classes site.
Oh, yes, I'm looking forward for this one.
So, if you don't have anything else to comment about, I think that's all for now. Thank you, Hernani, for your participation again. I hope to see you again next month.
Yes, thanks a lot, Manuel. And keep just a message to all the developers. Keep checking the site, and also some comments about the podcast. Suggestions are welcome, and we want to hear feedback from you guys. And if you have ideas and anything that you would like to hear here, and or comment or take some knowledge about, let us know. We've seen that there are several classes here that could be used for ideas for your own project or for some specific requirements on your current job. And we want you to be familiarized with the site and with PHP in the whole scope of PHP, and we are open to any kind of suggestions. Right. I guess that's all.
Yes, and if anybody has a PHP project or a project that could be of great interest to the PHP developers that would like to talk to us about it, feel free to contact us, and we'll sure find some time to fit you in the schedule of one of the next podcasts. So I think that's all for now. Bye.
Bye-bye.